Hi everybody, I'm Rage, and this is Prime.
Hi folks.
Prime, you don't sound as good as usual. Are you feeling alright?
Yeah, I just got a bit of a sore throat.
Bad luck, man. Anyway, we're here to tell you that, due to events beyond our control, the next episode of Dawn of War X is delayed.
Something about snow and Britain's infrastructure collapsing, I don't know, I don't watch the news.
The lightweights.
I think there was also something about babysitting and a new experimental way of making the episode only for our plans to be dashed.
It's true. And the upshot of this is that Aleroidosaurs will not be our New Year's podcast.
But what about now? What about now?
How about we totally sell out and talk about games and that?
Oh, can we talk about their favourite games of 2004?
Yeah, not 2010.
Like, I played any games made in 2010.
Good point. Me neither. Games played by D2FX in 2010.
2010.
Remember, not games made or released in 2010, but games we played in 2010. Okay. Well, there's that whole intro.
Yep.
No. Seamless.
Seamless transition.
That no one will ever realise that that first section was scripted and was totally off the cuff.
Yeah, totally off the cuff and like, so, whose line is it anyway style?
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Right, so, like, do you want to go first with your first game you played in
2010? The first game that I played in 2010, i.e. the one that's lowest on my list for best game, okay. I played Super Street Fighter 4 this year.
Right.
And it came out this year, I think it did. But I played it this year, and I thought it was fantastic. Just like all the games on my list are fantastic. And there's something to be said about Super Street Fighter 4, which is, yeah, it's great.
Cool, okay. I've only had like a couple of shots of it during the charity thing we've done, so is it as good as the other Street Fighter games?
It's better than Street Fighter 4.
Cool. why?
It's got like better online functionality, it's got better like more characters, like a lot more characters, a lot more backgrounds than that. The characters are far more balanced. There's extra ultras and stuff like that for characters. It's just like overall better experience.
Cool.
It's also total kick-ass, total like destroying people online, and they're like, you play as Gen, how can you destroy me? And I'm like, well, I'm a good Gen player.
So is Gen your main?
It was my main, and then I picked up Makoto, and now Makoto's not my main because I picked up Dalsim, and Dalsim's total amazing.
Total, both slow characters.
Yeah, I love total slow characters.
So you're paying attention.
Gen's really fast. Gen's really fast, but Makoto and Dalsim are really slow.
Cool.
But speed isn't a factor when you can instantly teleport across the screen, so.
Cool.
So what about you? What's your total, like, number 5 game?
Well, my number 5 game is MDK2. No, the thing is that MDK2 is a terrible game.
Yep.
Especially when you compare it to MDK1, which is totally great. But I haven't actually played that many games this year at all that one of them had to be a terrible game to, like, fill up
the quota.
Well, that's not true. It's just an excuse to talk about MDK2.
So what's so bad about it then?
Oh, like the most annoying thing in it is just like the level design is just horrendous. Like the story like in the game takes place just straight after MDK1, and it's about how a second invasion like attacks the Earth,
right.
And it tries to copy the same kind of humour as the first one, but it fails miserably. It just like misses the point. And it's the same thing with like the level design. It's just okay. Well, there's one section where you end up in this massive room with a pit in the middle of it. And this room is huge. And all around it is these, like, balls that you have to shoot with a sniper. You can't shoot them normally. You have to snipe them, even though you're right next to them. And then every time you shoot one of them, like, bad guys appear. And then you have to kill them. Okay?
Right.
And then once you do that, you can then do the next sphere. And then you keep doing that until you get them all. But, like, each one gets progressively harder. And it takes ages. Like, the first time I tried it, I got to the very last sphere where, like, the most toughest, like, nigh impossible enemies appear, and then I died. And that took, like, about 45 minutes to get through that, and then I had to start again from the beginning, just that whole section again, and then after that I never even got as far as that.
So there's no, like... There's no, like, a safe spot. Like, there's no, like, a checkpoint system or anything.
No. Well, like, there is a checkpoint system, but the checkpoint for that isn't even that room. I think it's, like, the... Like, before you get to that, there's this big spaceship flying around you trying to shoot you, and you have to jump from platform to platform to get to that room. So, like, every time you die, you have to do that quick section again, then get back to this room. Yeah, and, like, the last things you have to fight are enemies that you literally cannot dodge their attacks. the total developers decided to put in an enemy that can shoot a beam of energy that follows you, can go through walls, and kills you. Like, you can't dodge, you can't do anything. Like, you can... if you put your invisibility on, which is like a power-up, you can... Like, they can't see you, won't shoot at you. Only lasts for a certain amount of time, and if they've already shot at you and then you put the invisibility on, they can still see you. Like, they can, their attacks still hit you, they still trace you and follow you. But then it's like, if you try to attack them while invisible, they know where you are and then are able to attack you again. So, like, the only thing the invisibility is good for is running away from them.
Right.
you can't use it as an advantage to fight back. Which is, like, just nuts.
It just sounds like really terrible game design. Like,
yeah. And it's like...
MDK1 was so good as well. Like, people who, like, try and take over Shiny's work obviously don't really understand what they're trying to do.
Totally. And the annoying thing is, when you turn on all of the spheres, you know what it does?
What does it do?
It blows a hole in the floor, like, so you can get through. Like, so whatever alien race this is, built this big massive pit with this massive, like, array of, like, switches, like, in the room that powers a laser above the pit that does nothing but blow a hole in the floor.
It's obviously not well thought out. Let's make a stupid, like, room that's an extreme challenge for something so simple. Like, you could have just threw a grenade down there or something.
Yeah, it's essentially what they've tried to do is, like, make a puzzle that you have to get through, but they've just totally went about it the wrong way. Like, there's another one where you have to go, like, up a massive tower, and there's all these platforms that appear and disappear, and you have to do all these different puzzles to get up this huge tower from the outside of it. But if you fall off, you pretty much just fall straight back to the bottom. Like, maybe you might be able to use your ribbon chute to, like, land on a platform or something, but you have to pretty much do the same thing again, over and over again, to get to the top. And when you get to the top, it's not exactly clear as what way you're supposed to go. there was another thing with a total endless bottomless pit, and what you had to do was jump into that pit onto, like, a pipe. But you cannot, like, once you're on the pipe, you don't know what you're supposed to do. You can't see anywhere else to go. If you just walk off the pipe, you fall off and die. What you're supposed to do is jump off the pipe and then turn round and, like, use your ribbon chute to fly into the pipe. Like, there's no there's no even guarantee that, like, from seeing it, that you realise that is a pipe. You might just think it's a bit of metal sticking out. So you've got to, like, jump off and then turn round and then glide into it. into a place you cannot see until you've already jumped off.
That's ridiculous.
Oh man, it's
so hard. There was no problems like that in MDK1 as well. Like MDK1, the level design was perfect. The bosses and the enemies were, you know, it was just a game about running around like chaos, you know, just shooting everything and just going through the level, you know.
Yeah, it was fun and it was like properly funny and like the levels were like at least reasonably designed, not like too crazy. Rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also,
ah well.
It's like they like turned Kurt Havoc. Is that his name?
Kurt Hectic.
Yeah. All he does is glides and snipes. They've took away. Like he can still shoot his machine gun, but it's too worthless. Everything has to be sniped. Yeah, and then he's like added like the dog you can all control. And he does all of the total machine gunning. So, yeah.
That's... Nah. Yeah, you're right. Like, number five for you is a total terrible game.
Yeah, but MDK1, that's a good game.
Yeah. MDK1's awesome.
Okay, what's your number four?
Number four for me is a game that I've just got yesterday, and I was playing it yesterday and today. Not finished it yet. But it's really, really good and really fun. It's called The Saboteur. Essentially, you play this crazy Irish guy called Sean, and he's this like mechanic turned race car driver. I know it's kind of silly,
right?
But yeah, it's like set during World War II, and you're essentially in a resist. Like you get picked up by this French guy, and like. He asks you to do this job where you've got to blow up this petrol station, and that's the first thing that you do, and then you get initiated into this total resistance thing, and you're essentially trying to free Paris from the total Nazi occupation by kicking the crap out of the Nazis by blowing up all their stations and all that, you know, like anything that you see, like their, you know, their high towers where there's snipers at the top of them and that, you essentially blow them to bits, and then you know, you go to their fuel depots and you blow them up, and you go to like whenever you see like a tank or something like that, you sneak behind it and like blow a tank up or whatever. And it's all about this total crazy Irish like bomber guy just total destroying the Nazis, and it's really fun. it's like a cross between Freedom Fighters and Infamous, because you can total do the climbing up the walls and like running across the rooftops and that sort of thing as well.
Cool. When was it made?
I think it was last year. I think it was made 2009.
Cool.
But yeah, it's really, really fun. It's like, and there's so much to do. It's for people who like collecting stuff and like completionists, you know, like. They'll find like tons to do. Even like the story doesn't seem to be that long. It's like I'm about 39% the way through it, and I just got it yesterday, you know.
Right.
But and for a sandbox game, you know, you'd expect something along the lines of Grand Theft Auto 4 to be like 40 hours or something. But yeah, this has not been that long so far. I've only been playing it for about 6 or 7 hours or something. But there's so much to do outside of the missions, like so much. Like when I say so much to do, I mean so much to total blow up. It's like it's tons to blow up. It's like I've not uncovered all of the map yet, and there's about, I would say maybe about 400 like landmarks on the bit that I've uncovered to blow up so far.
Right.
Yeah, there's like crap tons of stuff to just like, you just walk up to it, like put like strap some dynamite to it, light it with your cigarette lighter and run. it's just fun, like so, it's just chaos, it's great.
So like what kind of like things can you blow up? Like does it always have to be like Nazi like things?
You can blow whatever you want up. Like there's a mission that I just passed there, like sorry for spoilers or whatever, but it's like you're essentially trying to get vengeance on this guy that killed your best friend, and it's like, is this Nazi guy that killed your pal? So you find out he's in Paris for like one day, and then he's where he is right now is he's trying to like get onto a blimp and leave to go back to Germany. So essentially you get to the blimp, you get on the blimp, and a fight ensues in a cutscene, and then you like when it comes back to the gameplay, the blimp's getting blown up, it's just like exploding, and you've got to get to the front of the blimp and catch up with him. And then after it's all blown up and that, you're lying on a beach, and then you wake up, and when you wake up, like the next place that you get to is this fuel depot. There's like gallons and gallons of oil, like oil drums everywhere, and a couple of lighthouses on the end of the beach. And I just ran over to the lighthouses and started sniping the oil drums and blowing the entire place to bits. It was just so much fun.
Cool.
One thing though is that for just a guy dressed in like sackcloth, essentially, is bulletproof. This guy can take like thousands upon thousands of bullets, but it never seems to last. Like as soon as you start to think, yeah, I'm invincible, he starts dying. So so you've got to like be careful. But yeah, it's just chaos and it's just fun.
Cool.
Yeah. So what about you? Number four for you?
Number four is Prince of Persia: Sands of Time.
Sweet, I've played that. That's great.
Yeah, well, I only played this for the first time this year. Like only a few months ago as well, I think.
It's a good game to play, man.
It's totally great. And it's just so much fun just like jumping around things.
Totally.
And was like the one of the like my favourite bits is just being like totally just exposed and like on top of a building outside where just one drop can fall and you're just making these mad leaps.
Yeah. Oh, the platforming in that game is fantastic, like.
Yeah. And it's also the platforming's like almost like puzzles in which you have to solve your way across them.
Yeah.
And that's really, really like fun to actually play. Also like the story in it, like the way it's told via the total like this has all already happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like when he dies, and when he dies, he's like, "Oh no, that never happened," and then it goes back.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like, that's totally mad that he does that though. Like, why is he making this mistakes? It's like, and then I went into this room and was instantly killed by spikes. No, that.
Oh, wait a minute, that
was wrong. Maybe it's like the person he's telling the story to. He's like, and then I walked into the room, and then she's like, and then you were killed by spikes. Is that what happened? And they're like, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
There's also like some aspects of the game that like are kind of useful but also annoying. Like every time you go into a save point, it'll give you like a kind of premonition of what's going to happen next. So if you watch that, you get to see what the solution to the next section of the game is. Like how to solve the puzzle of the platforming, which like if you've totally stuck and have no idea where you're going, that's total handy. But if you're good enough to like just be able to figure out, or you just don't want to be like it's spoiled for you, then yeah, it's totally annoying.
Yeah,
they took that out in like the next ones though.
Yeah, there's no more premonitions.
Yeah, well, when we played the very beginnings of both. The next two.
Yeah. Well, you've got two total amazing games coming up because they're fantastic as well.
Yeah, but I'm slightly worried by the fact that like he's suddenly changed from being like, oh, I am Prince of Persia. I'll just jump over here, to like turn into I will get my vengeance on everyone. It's just like they'll totally turn out something stupid like halfway through the second one, in between that one and the first one, he got married and had a kid, and then that whole wife and the kid was all killed. by like a tall Persian god or something, you know?
Nobody understands me anymore. Like, I'm gonna go back to the sands of time and unleash them again.
But yeah, it's so much fun, especially the fact you can just rewind time.
Yeah, the total. I found myself, like, back when I was playing it, I found myself so many times running out of the sand when you're rewinding. So, like, I'd get myself into these situations where I was perpetually blocking on the ground.
Yeah.
To, like, stop an enemy from hitting me, and I never had enough sand left to rewind it further.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, like, when you rewind time, but you just don't quite judge it right, and when you let go, it's like he just does the whole thing again. You're like, ah! But no, you've wasted your sand, so no, you can't just, like, rewind it back like that just a little bit more.
Totally. Yeah, that's silly. It's good, though. Like, I just like all the different things you can do, like the wall running and stuff like that.
Yeah, wall running's fun. I wish I could do that for real.
Yeah.
Maybe I can. Totally.
Great.
What's it? You've seen the movie though as well, eh?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I thought the film was alright. Like, it's not the most terrible like game like turned movie thing ever. It's like it wasn't terrible in my opinion. I thought it was like I could sit and watch it. You know, I probably wouldn't watch it again. But yeah, it was like it's worth seeing at least.
Well,
especially if you're a fan of Prince of Persia.
See,
because I'm a total massive fan of it.
Well, I played the game and then seen it down in the shop, the total movie, so I was like, ah, I'll totally have a watch of that. And then at the real start, it totally says that he's not really the Prince of Persia. It's like he's just some kid that's totally been adopted by like the family. That's a spoiler, but who cares?
It's a spoiler right at the start of the film. Right at the very beginning.
Well, a spoiler for anyone who's not seen it yet. But like, why? Why do you make a film called Prince of Persia and the first thing you do in it is say the lead character is not actually a Prince of Persia?
He's an adopted prince, man.
It doesn't count. It's just there's no reason for it.
It doesn't count. You're shocking. It's like a king decides one day, I think I'll go out and I'll adopt someone today. I'm gonna go out and be gracious and give someone a chance at life. and obviously, that's a little too nice for you. That doesn't count. He's not a prince. He's not been adopted into the like the kingship at all. There's no chance of him ever becoming the king. it doesn't count. He's a prince. He's not a prince. He's a street rat. He's essentially Aladdin.
Yes, yeah, pretty much what happened was the writers were like, oh, how are we going to explain how he's able to do all these jumping stuff? Well, isn't there another film like set round about this Persian area? It's like, Aladdin? Yes! He's a jumpy guy in that. It's like, yeah! Right, okay. But how can we force that into the story of Prince of Persia? It's like, ah, the king adopts him. Yes! You are fired. What?
Yeah, takes all the credit. Totally. It's like, that's a great idea. You're fired. No! Nah, but like, that's just like saying that, yeah, like, Aladdin's not a real prince. Because, like, he never wished to be a prince. And if he wasn't a real prince, then the genie couldn't have fulfilled his wish. So the genie would just blow up.
Yeah, well...
So it has to be a real prince, because the genie made him a real prince.
It's just like... There is just no reason for them to do that in the film at all. It's like, you know, like apparently the guy never actually, who directed it, like, played the game. So like...
Let me ask you this one thing though, right? Is that the thing that made you go, this film's rubbish? Because that's such a minor thing to care about.
At first I was just like
he's not a legitimate prince, so I don't like the Prince of Persia.
No, it's like that was just like a total silly thing that had like there was no reason to do that. But like, okay, so we get that the next thing is like what's it? Like Ben Kingsley's in that. Ben Kingsley's a good actor. Right?
Right.
And yet there was totally no point in him being in that. at all whatsoever. Like, the tone... Like, really, Ito never done anything or brought anything to that movie that really mattered. He was essentially just, I am the bad guy. No, spoiler again.
He's good at being a bad guy, though.
No, he wasn't really good as a bad guy, because he was just like...
But Ben Kingsley's good as a bad guy, though. Like, if you want a bad guy, he's a total good bad guy.
Well, he never done a very good job off it, though. He was just...
Yeah, well, each to their own, and like. I thought he was alright.
He's also, and maybe we should put, like, at the start of this whole spoilers to the Prince of Persia movie. Because, like, the toned ending as well is, like, it doesn't make any sense. It all contradicts itself.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Let's stop talking about the film then.
The total Prince of Persia Sands of Time in the game, that is great. Everyone should go out and play that.
And I think the film's great, but Rage obviously doesn't.
No, I don't. It's like, I suppose it's alright, unless, of course, you've just watched Indiana Jones. Like, if you watch Indiana Jones and The Mummy just before watching it, then you'll look at that movie going, this is terrible. Why am I...
Are you joking? Like, The Mummy's not that good either, man.
It's not that good, but it's like, they clearly took a lot of inspiration for how that movie should be from, like, The Mummy.
Whatever, man.
Okay.
Whatever.
Right, okay. So your number three game... Best game you played
this year. Oh, we were talking about games there.
Yeah. Tangents is why I listen to any podcast.
Yeah. Right. My number three. Very, very good game. Fantastic game. I bought it and got it about a week ago. And it is possibly one of the most funny and fun games ever. I've ever played ever, and no one will agree with me here. Naughty Bear. Oh. It is absolutely one of the most fantastic games I've played. It is essentially an arcade style score chasing game where you just run around as a teddy bear murdering other teddy bears because they didn't invite you to a birthday party. And yeah, I cannot believe the amount of fun that I had with that game. And the storyline's not deep or anything like that. It's not about the story. It's not about, like, the visuals. If anything, it's about the sound. Because the narrator in the game is just fantastic. It's just this really annoying, arrogant, pompous, like, English narrator guy. That's like... It's almost like he's narrating, like, a Fireman Sam or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like... He's like, hello. You know, he's just this really bubbly character. He's almost like toying with Naughty Bear's emotions. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Naughty Bear doesn't get invited, and it's like, oh, that's terrible, Naughty. You didn't get invited. What a shame. You should maybe. Oh, is that a present you made? Okay, go give it to him then. And then all the bears will be laughing at Naughty Bear, and he's like, oh. That's terrible. How awful of Giggles and Chubby. You should go back and burn that present in the fire right now. It's just Naughty Bear just does everything he says. Everything. He's just like, you can imagine the narrator sort of like with the marionette crosses going, ha, dance for me. he's just insane. Yeah, it's just fun. It's just really, really fun.
Yeah, I totally want to play that game. It's like, yeah.
Like, every weapon in the game has a different death move. Like, you can beat them to death with, like, sticks and bats and all that. And, like, but everything, like, whenever you beat them enough, it'll, you know, you can press, like, R2 and you can do an instant kill death move thing. And, Every weapon has a different instant kill. Whenever you beat an enemy enough, or sorry, whenever you scare them enough, you can scare them into killing themselves with the weapon that they're holding, and that is a different death move per weapon as well. It's not like it's the same death move that you do, it's like a completely different move that they do to themselves for every weapon in the game. And there's context-sensitive kills in the environment as well. So, like, you can... you can cause like a barbecue grill. You can make it go like you can make it flame up or something, and like they'll go over and try and fix it and put it back down again. But you can shove their face into the barbecue grill and just char their face to bits and they die. It's just, it's so vile. Like, I can't believe this got a 12. Like, it's, like, it's such a violent game, but the only reason it got a 12 is because it's teddy bears and stuffing instead of, like, real people in blood, totally. You know? But it's still violent. Like, the teddy, like, if you scare them enough, like, when they've got a gun, you see them totally struggling with their hands, trying to stop themselves putting, like, the gun to the side of their head and blowing their brains out, you know? It's just insane. Like, it's so subversively evil,
yeah,
this game.
You're starting,
you know,
to,
I mean,
make,
like,
it sound a wee bit like maybe people should they be playing this game.
No, everybody should play this game. Give it a chance. Like, definitely buy it. It is so funny and fun. Like, it's ultra violent, but it's just, it's done in this comedy style that is just so fun. It's just, like, so, like, that. People, I noticed people were complaining that the game was really samey, it got boring after like the second or third level. And like, yeah, fair enough, like the game's set on this one little island, and there's not much difference to the visuals except thematically, like each level will be about something different. Like the first level's about a party, the second level's about, you know, like an election. You know, and all the theme of the level will be around that, and it's still the same island though, you know, but there'll be different decorations up, there'll be different things in the environment that you can pick up and like use or whatever, different weapons and all that. But like, I had a blast from start to finish. I downloaded the free level 8, like the eighth right. level to it. And I completed that, and then I bought level 9, and I'm totally thinking about getting level 10. So like, it's a total fantastic game, and I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, because like, there's maybe something just like, I don't know why people would be held back from playing this, because the whole point in playing games is that you totally have fun, and this is like one of the most fun games I've ever played.
Totally.
It's just great.
Cool. What else to ask? Is there multiplayer? That's a standard question in these kind of things.
There is multiplayer. I've never played it though. I've had too much fun like playing through the one player one. There's so much stuff to do as well. Like whenever you're playing through like the one player thing, you'll not have access directly. Like after you've completed level one, you may not have access to level 2 immediately. You might have to complete level 1 and one of its, you know, challenge modes in order to unlock level 2. And then when you get to level 2, you might have to do level 2 and then maybe do one or two of level 2's challenge modes and maybe one of level 1's to unlock level 3 and so on. Like, you've got to... Essentially, there's a trophy requirement or a medal requirement to get the next level. So... say I'm playing level 1 and the requirement for level 2 is maybe 2 gold medals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, you'll complete level 1 and then in order to get level 2 on the go, you might have to get a gold in like one of the challenges for level 1 as well. So like, it just continues that way, but like every time you do a level, there's always 4 challenges underneath that level, and there's 7 different types of challenge throughout the game as well. So it kind of like, one's like a speedrun, you've got to do it in a certain amount of time. One's kill everybody. It's funny because it's like, kill a challenge, kill them all. And you've just got to just bolt around just killing everybody. Or like, one of them's like insanity challenge where you've got to drive them all insane and make them kill themselves. It's just like... There's so much to do. There's so much unlockables as well. There's like 30 different costumes that you can use, and they all give you different stats. Like, so when you complete a level, you might get like a party hat. After level 1, you'll unlock a party hat, and that'll give you some more strength or something. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, there's just so much to do. Like, I've completed the game. I've passed this like 7th mission. I've completed it, but technically I'm still only like 39% through the game, you know, so like, yeah, there's still tons more for me to do, and it's a score chasing game, so there's leaderboards. So like, I'm right at the bottom of the leaderboards. There's no way I'll ever be able to get anywhere in the leaderboards, but it's still a challenge. It's still something that would make me want to come back and play it more and more.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, so like, it's a really fantastic game. The music's funny, like the, just everything about it, like the voice acting of the narrator's funny, like how Naughty Bear always does everything he says to do. It's just, everything about the game's great. And each and every single one of the bears on that island all have a different personality as well. So some of them will scare easy, some of them will be brave and fight you. Like, all of them are different, you know, so you've got to try and find out what ones are weak and what ones are strong and, you know, and deal with them the way you have to deal with them.
Cool.
So, it's total great, yeah. Okay, so what about your three?
My number three is Blazing Dragons on the PlayStation 1.
Way! Good old PS1 game. So what's this then? What's okay. Blazing Dragons? I kind of know already, but for anybody obviously listening... That's probably never heard of it before.
We haven't gone through this list beforehand. Well, yeah, Blazing Dragons. Well, basically, Terry Jones of Monty Python fame made a, well, wrote a TV series, a cartoon that was animated by Neil Vanna called Blazing Dragons.
Right.
And it was basically about a magical kingdom called Camelot, ruled over by dragons, and the whole idea was like to swap around the humans fighting dragons because dragons are evil. It's like the dragons are told peaceful and good and the humans are evil and just want to take over the country because their main source of food, and it's totally abundant there, is just gems and gold and like total stuff like that. So they told just like like rubies and that for breakfast. No, the TV series isn't actually that good. It's like, it's totally boring and it's not really animated really well, and it's now unforgettable. Unless it's you that remembered it, the person listening, and you're thinking, oh, I remember that. Unless it's you. Yeah, it's terrible. Don't look it up. Anyway, strangely, after the series was aired, like a company, Crystal Dynamics, made a game based on it. They totally changed the character designs, got different voice actors, including people like Charlie Adler. And
Charlie Adler's awesome.
And and told Terry Jones is like one of the total voice actors in it as well. And yeah, it's just this, it's a, they've basically made a point and click adventure game, which follows the basic idea of the TV series, but just like no holds barred. It's just told Terry Jones just with whatever he wanted in a game. It's basically the basic story is that the humans want to get Camelot, but like the dragons are just far too strong, so they come up with this idea of building a fake dragon to take over, to like win a tournament off the that the dragons are having. Whoever wins becomes a knight, and then the knight can then like take over the king when he retires, which is apparently going to happen soon. So yeah, right. So they build this robot dragon, and you as a like an inventor and kind of almost like everyone, all the knights just make fun of you because you're just like this, all the dragons are brave and strong and all you care about is like reading books and inventing stuff. Yeah, and right, like, yeah. And it's up to you to like solve all these mad point and click adventure puzzles in order to save the kingdom. Yeah.
So is it the same as all these other point and clicks, which is like you've got to pixel hunt for everything, like clue wise and like solution wise and all
well,
that?
Well, for the most part, the items and things, places you have to click are like reasonable, like where they are.
They're pretty obvious.
But there's
like that.
Two places which totally annoyed me, like the post and the dirt, there's no difference in your icon over which one you're on. So Like, you can click the same general area over and over again, and then you start to think, this can't be how the puzzle's done. It must be something else, or try look somewhere else. Only to, like, give up, look at a walkthrough, and discover that it was the right place. It was just slightly dull from that. And there was another bit as well that was like that. It's like, not this bit of corn, this bit. Like, why? But other than that, if you play point and click adventure games and you're reasonably good at them, then you'll find that it's actually quite it's quite straightforward of how to do it.
Right. It's not like a brain twister or anything like that. It's just,
well, like, I mean, like, everything is like logical. It's there's nothing, there's no putting a hand on an extendable thing and then stick it in the world's largest ball of string so you can get a diamond. It's like,
alright, so nothing totally atrocious that you'd be like, what? Like, what? How was I meant to get that?
Yeah. It's, but yeah, for the most part, it's good. And
totally.
What's it? It's got a nice menu system as well. When you press like triangle, it comes up on the like your inventory as your as a bag, and you see all your items. You can just like pick, and you press like the cancel button, and it goes away. And then you've got your item, and you can drop it down, which is nice way of doing it for having a for playing it with a control pad.
Cool.
Totally. I'm trying to think what other voice actors were in it. There's Charlie Adler, and he pretty much just sounds like was it the red guy from Cow and Chicken, which is awesome.
Yeah, totally. Like, Charlie Adler's so talented. Like, he's such a good voice actor.
Don't 4X is a fan of Charlie Adler.
Yeah, him and Paul Eiding.
Yeah,
they're two legends in the voice acting community. Both for completely different reasons. Like, Charlie Adler can do loads of characters. Paul Eiding can only do one, but he does it extremely well.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
So, yeah, Blazing Dragon's great. So, what's your number two?
My number two was a game, again, some people didn't like it. Some people totally loathed it. Other people thought it was great. Not that many, though. just got it a couple of days ago again, just like The Saboteur. In fact, I just got it like a few days before The Saboteur. And I've been playing it as well. And that game is Brutal Legend.
Double Fine!
Yeah, Brutal Legend is a totally fantastic game. Obviously, okay, basics, total stars Jack Black. You either love him or you hate him. You're like, obviously, if your tastes are I hate Jack Black, then you're not going to like this game, because this is nothing but Jack Black.
Well, I can firmly say that I am indifferent to Jack Black. No, he's funny sometimes.
Totally indifferent. Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of Jack Black. Like, I like his stuff, but I don't go out my way. Like, I'm not a huge fan. I don't collect his stuff, and I don't care whether I see his films or not.
Probably won't be seeing the Gulliver's Travels then.
I don't really care, you know. It's like the same with, like, School of Rock and that. I don't really care about seeing that, you know. But, like, I think he's funny. Like, and I liked Tenacious D's Pick of Destiny, and I like their albums and that. They're quite funny. But, yeah, this Brutal Legend is... it's just like this game is essentially a love letter to all metal fans. It's like visually, audibly, like just everything about it. Like, the visuals are just stunning, the audio is fantastic, like everything. There's not one place in the game that I've seen yet that looks the same as another place in the game. Everything looks totally unique. Absolutely everything. All these characters are like there's so many cameo characters that come along in the game. Like, I'm not going to spoil any of them. I'm not going to say a word about that. But, like, yeah. It's just funny Jack Black stuff in a total, like, power metal world. Just, like, heavy metal. All the architecture is, like, giant stone guitars jutting out the ground. There's this place, the main base of operations for your sort of your resistance against this total evil demon guy. It's called Bladehenge, and it's just a load of swords sticking in the ground. It's just everything that, it's like looking at an album cover, you know. It's about these total crazy guys with, like, guitars, like, driving amazing cars, like, into dragons, you know. That's what this game is. It's like every time you start a mission, like, I don't know, like, it's just, I know it's stupid to pick up on just this one little thing, but, like, whenever you start on a mission, the mission title screen it's in-game, so you can run around while the title screen's on, but the screen is essentially an album artwork, and you're running around inside the album art, and then it flicks to, like, in the game again. It's just everything about it, like, it's all about battle, like, you know, the battle cries and, like, war and, like, all like the, like, try stamp out the demons and, like, just fighting against evil and, like, just, yeah, it's just everything about total, like, if you're a metal fan and, like, even if you don't like Jack Black, if you just like metal, this is totally fantastic. This game, it's just absolutely, I can't say enough good about it. It is on par. I've not even completed it yet. It is on par with Bionic Commando, and that's my favourite game of all time. Like, it's like a mix between, like, a cartoony, like, sort of silly Grand Theft Auto, because it's like a free roaming game. It's like an action, like, it's a hack and slash, like God of War, but it's also like Freedom Fighters. Whereas, like, it's like squad command, and, like, you can highlight your troops and you can tell them to go this way, you can go, like, you can tell them to attack, stay, or defend, like, to attack, defend, or follow you in the battle, you know? And, but, like, every unit has its own unique special move that when you approach them, they'll be able to do a double team move with you. It's, like, a lot of people throw around total RTS. Like, they're all like, oh, I totally hated how it was an RTS. It's not an RTS. Like, I can see how it's very loosely maybe an RTS. It's not even, you know, it's nothing to the caliber of something like Rome Total War or something. It's not like Command and Conquer. It's nothing like that. It's just like a squad-based action game. You tell your troops to go over there and attack that thing, and if they die, all you do is say, right, what troops am I going to replace it with? Replace them, and then send them back over again. It's just great. Like, I hate RTS games, but I'm totally loving this, and I don't know how that works, because if this is an RTS game, I should hate it.
Right.
But it's great. I love it.
Cool. Right. Does it have multiplayer?
Yes, it does have multiplayer, but I've not touched multiplayer because, as most people probably know from the VGU forums, I don't do multiplayer. Like, I don't really like playing, you know, especially competitive multiplayer. Like, I'll play like Uncharted 2's like multiplayer co-op. Like, I like playing with people and not against them. But when it comes to Super Street Fighter 4, I'll kick their ass, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't matter. But that's because it's just a fighting game. It's not like there's anything else you could possibly do in that. There's no co-op in Street Fighter, you know? Like, you can't, like, have... Like, if... Well, you, I suppose you can, like, the 2-on-2 in that. But, like, that's not what I mean, you know? Like, Street Fighter is nothing but competitive, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in any regard at all, like, and whether you're playing one player all or like two player, like online, or two player like next to each other, it's all exactly the same all the time. So I might as well play it online instead of like getting absolutely no challenge from the computer.
Totally. It's logical.
Yeah. Totally logical. Yeah, Brutal Legend's fantastic. Though. Yeah. Like, can't say enough good about it. Like, if you like metal, get it. If you like Jack Black, get it. If you don't like Jack Black but you like metal, get it. If you like action games, get it. If you if you played Freedom Fighters and you enjoyed that, you'll enjoy this, because that is pretty much what it is. It's like this perfect sort of creation that's just itching to be played. Just play it. Just go out and play it. Please, people, just go out and play it. Just buy it and say, Double Fine, you're geniuses. Tim Schafer, you are the freaking man. Make a second one, please.
The amount of trouble they got just trying to get the first one out. It's like, the second one's going to be a little bit of a trouble. But
yeah,
I like Tim Schafer and Double Fine.
It's definitely a total fantastic game. Get it.
Well, there you go.
Totally. So, yeah. Number two for you. What's your number two?
My number two is Machinarium. Which...
Right, what's that?
That is the... one of the games that was on the Humble Indie Bundle, which at the time of recording is still on, and which is good. And it's basically like a point-and-click adventure game made by the same folk that made Samaros and Samaros 2. And basically you play as a little robot and you can stretch up and down, and you have to look around the screen for items that you can like use and interact with. Like, for example, you have to pick up a doll at the start and give it to a robot, and he'll take it apart and give you like a leg, right? And but the game, like, as a point and click adventure game, it's so good. It's just off, it looks like it's just been hand drawn, I just played this recently and completed it, so it should be really easy to explain. But yeah, it's just there's no talking in the game. All the characters interact via little animations of what they're thinking. Despite that, you can totally just you understand everything that's happening, the whole story. You understand what you're supposed to do for the puzzle, and it works really well.
So is it like traditional one where you've got like an inventory in that, or is it like do you just click your way through the levels or what?
Well, you have an inventory. You've got like at the top of the screen usually you've only got like one screen. Later on it goes to like multiple screens, but basically you get items, you can pick up things that are in your area. But you can only pick things up when you're close to them. And then they go into your inventory. Okay. And you can join the things together there if that's what the puzzle needs, or you can like use them on things in the area.
Right.
And one of the things though is you have to be next to the thing to use it, to pick something up or interact with something on the screen. Which is kind of different from like just about every other point and click adventure game, in which you could just click anywhere and your character will move to it and then they'll use the item. In this, you have to like move to a set, like you've got set places you can move to, and then you are able to like interact with the thing then, and it means that you have to think about what you're doing in the game. Like in other games, you can totally do pixel hunting and just click until like you find stuff and work it together. But because you can only see things, you can only interact with things when you're next to it, it means that you have to like think, okay, what have I got here in this area which I can use? what is in this area that maybe I could combine with that.
Right,
and
yeah.
Also the fact that most of the time it's you're locked into a screen, it means that there's none of this thinking like worrying about some mad puzzle that was like from ages ago, or you have like item that you don't need in your inventory. Like everything's tool gets used up there and then.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool. So it's very streamlined then. It's very.
It was. It's not so much streamlined, because most of the time, it's the kind of game where most of the time you're sitting there thinking what you're supposed to do, but not in a kind of like I don't know what to do. It's just a, like, okay, how do I do this? Essentially.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Also, one thing which all the listeners would totally find interesting is that when I was playing it, my nephew, who's like nearly four, was sitting with me as I was playing it. And usually if I play a game that's not something like Sonic, he'll totally get bored and say, I want to play Sonic. But playing this, he was totally entranced by it. Even though it's like a gentle, seeming like nothing's really happening, he was totally just enthralled. Just like, he could take his eyes off it. And even after I completed it, I completed the whole game again. Like, no one knew all the puzzles. So I just went through the whole thing, just showing him the whole game from the start to the end. And he sat through it again. So...
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. I totally did not expect that.
That's totally cool. So, does it, like, this main robot, like, is the stretch thing that he does a move? Is it useful, or is it just, like, something that, like, you know, it's a character trait or what?
Yeah. You know, like I said, that you can only click on things that are in your general vicinity. Like, if he has to reach it.
Right.
Well, the stretching thing allows you to, like, reach things that are higher up. You can also...
Right, okay.
You can also shrink them down, which means you can, like, reach things that are too low.
Right, I see.
Yeah, and
that's cool.
Yeah,
so it actually has a function. It's not just the fact that he's a stretchy robot.
See, everything in the game was like precision crafted to do like a function. It's not like a modern like physics based game where like
right, yeah.
Like maybe you could get away with like me even making an entire level that's nothing but just physics. Well, this is like the exact opposite. There is no physics. Everything is just is being programmed in. If you walk over there, there's no preset like walking functions in the game that would have automatically make the computer walk them from that place to there. It's they programmed it that when you click this area, they'll make an animation move to that area. So it's
right,
not
yeah.
like if you're playing like God of War and you pick forward, he would walk forward independent of the environment until we hit something in the environment that would stop him. And this is like, if you wanted to move, you'd have to click a predefined place, and then he would do a predefined animation to that place, and then when he was there, he can only do predefined actions.
Right, I see.
Yeah.
I see. That's totally cool. That's like interesting.
Also, if you like Thingy, what's that game? Professor Layton. Like how that's just filled with tons of puzzles that you have to solve. Thingy Machinarium's like that as well.
Yeah.
Cool. And that was on the indie
yes.
bundle, second indie
yeah.
bundle, eh?
Which also comes with Braid, which, like, even, like, if you can pay anything you want, so there's no reason not to get it. I mean, you get, like, Braid, which is total awesome in every way, Machinarium, which is just awesome in every way, and three other games. Yeah.
Right, okay. So you not played any of the three other games yet,
yeah.
I suppose.
Like, I played Braid ages ago. Like, so... yeah, so that's two versions of that I've got on my computer. But the one of the other ones is Osmos, in which you play as, like, I think you're a cell, and you have to propel yourself by chucking bits of yourself away in order to absorb smaller cells. And then when you're like, once you do that, you get bigger, and then you can absorb bigger ones. and then and be even bigger and bigger and bigger. Right. But if you touch one that's bigger than you, you get absorbed and it all kills you.
Right. So,
yeah, and that's pretty much it. Like that's like that's the pretty much the only two game mechanics in the whole thing. But the rest is like maybe like there's like a level where there's a big red thing that total sucks you in if you get too close. There's one which total runs away from you. There's one that attacks you. Like, yeah, and you've got to just you have to play the game totally almost sedately, because you if yeah. The other two I've only played one of the other ones, which was the Titan one, Rise of the Titans. Which looks like a it's like an RTS, like almost tower defense type game.
Right,
but it looks really nice. I only played it to just see what it looked like. Another one is Cortex Command, which I've totally not touched yet. Because I was too busy playing Machinarium.
Well, bargain then, eh? You pay what you want for five total cool games.
Like,
awesome.
Like, seriously, everyone should just total buy it. Even if you don't plan to play the games.
Well, like, I suppose we can total pimp their site then. Like, what about like is it just Humble Indie Bundle, or is it indiebundle.com, or what is it?
www.humblebundle.com, and Humble Bundle is one word.
There you go then. Go there, pay what you want, get these five games.
And it'll be totally annoying if by the time this comes out, it's finished.
Oh yes, it's a limited offer, so if you listen to this after it's finished, sorry.
Yeah, and like if you don't know, the Humble Indie Bundle gives you like pay whatever you want for like five indie games, and you get and just like and it's for charity. You can say like how much of the much you pay goes to the developers, how much goes to the charities. You can even give the people who are running it a tip so they can run the servers and stuff. It's up to you.
That's cool. It's cool.
But it doesn't work if you put zero in for some reason.
Because that's not an actual amount.
It's like zero pence has been taken off of your PayPal account.
Oh crap.
Plus tax.
It's like if you wrote 0 pence though, that'd probably be like 1 or 2 cents.
Yeah. If you're British and you put 1 cent in, then like that's less than a penny. Don't put that much in, though. I didn't.
That'd be total shocking. Yeah, like stick like $10 or $15 in or something.
Totally. Okay.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say next? Yes. Do you want to do like? Have you got any honourable mentions of games you've played this year?
Right. Yeah, I've got a couple. I played. These are all downloadable titles, by the way. They are total honourable downloadable titles. I played the remakes of Monkey Island 1 and 2, which are point-and-click adventures. I'm not going to go into total terrible detail because they're just honourable mentions, but they're fantastic and you should play them because they've been redrawn from the ground up, but not only that, they've got all the audio added in with them as well. They've got trophy support, and it's cheap. You know, like you can get the like a bundle, like both of them together for like £12 or something for both of them. So that's total awesome, like to have both of them. Even in the second game as well, they've added in developer commentary. So depending on like characters or areas that you're in, you can tap like the L2 button and it'll jump into like a sort of developer commentary bit where Tim Schafer, what's the other two guys'
Ron
names again?
Gilbert and
that other guy runs Telltale. Yeah, like those three guys. So sorry if you're that guy that runs Telltale, by the way. We totally love
Telltale's
your stuff.
Telltale's awesome. So.
But yeah. Yeah, Telltale's totally great. But yeah, like, those three guys are just sitting talking about, like, when they were making the game. And, like, they're looking at they're looking at the remake while they do it, and they're like, oh, remember this part, you know, and they start like reminiscing about all the stuff that they were doing, all the jokes that they were putting in and stuff like that. And so, like, even that alone, to get an insight into Tim Schafer's mind, just to, like, see what he was thinking when he was coming up with these games, you know, it's just... Ron Gilbert as well, you know, they're both really funny guys, and you can tell that they get along really well. They're, you know, like total best buds sort of thing. And yeah, like, fully voice acted, like, the music's been redone, it's in 720p, high definition, and just... brilliant games. I never completed the second one back in the day, but I completed it this time. I had to use a guide though. I'm sorry to disappoint you all, but I'm not the hardcore total point and click adventurer that you think I am. Yeah, the second game's really tough. I completed the first one twice though, like that special edition of Monkey Island 1. Completed that twice. But anyway, that's enough about Monkey Island 1 and 2. Also, this is just a demo, obviously. Like, I've not played the full game yet, but it's obviously made an impression to me. I just want to talk about like a little bit of a demo. The new Tomb Raider game, Lara Croft and the
Lara Croft something. And the Continuing franchise.
Yeah, that's the one. They've redone Tomb Raider in the style of Diablo.
Right.
And while some people might think that's crazy...
It is.
It totally works, because it's like, imagine Diablo, or in fact, just imagine Tomb Raider, but isometric. That's
right.
It.
Right.
It's not, like... Yeah, it's like Diablo, but it's not like Diablo. It's like you're playing a Tomb Raider game from high up and like angled. You're just running around shooting like normal, like Lara, like jumping. You can actually jump in the game, like in Diablo you kind of jump. It's not like you're clicking everywhere to try and fight enemies. You're running around doing all this acrobatic stuff at the same time as shooting all the enemies, solving puzzles and that. It's just like Tomb Raider, but styled like Diablo. And there's like co-op as well. I never done the co-op though, because it was just a demo. But yeah, that's definitely an honourable mention. I'm thinking about picking it up. It's only a tenner. But yeah, it's like, it's a really cool idea, and it's like, yeah. And I enjoyed the demo, and I played through the demo twice because it was that good. Other honourable mention. Finally, totally get to it. Sonic 4. Sonic 4 is totally great. It's like everything that you wanted in a Sonic sequel after Sonic and Knuckles. After that crazy game, Sonic and Knuckles, Sonic 4 continues straight after that. It's just like essentially Sonic 1 remix. Sonic 1 and 2 remix. Tails isn't in it. He's in it for like a second. And there's nobody else except Sonic and Dr. Eggman. And yeah, it's just like four main zones. Like, each zone has got four acts to it. So you've got like the nice starting area, and that's got like four acts. The first three acts are proper levels, and the fourth act's like a boss fight. And that goes through the game like that until you've hit the final act, which is five boss fights in a row.
Right.
Yeah, it's totally great. The physics, I don't see what everybody's complaining about the physics for. It's like really silly little things like, oh, I stopped on the middle of one of the spirals. Oh, I'm so annoyed at that. I'm a total game snob. physics didn't work properly there. I'm gonna totally like record that again and put it on YouTube. You know, like, look how stupid Sonic Force physics is.
Right.
Yeah, it's totally not as bad as everybody was complaining about. It just feels you're playing Sonic. Fair enough. Like when you let go of him when he's jumping, he stops short and stuff like that sometimes. But there's nothing, totally not anywhere near to the caliber that everybody's saying, oh, it's total crap, it doesn't work. like the physics are totally broken. Nah, it's not. It's not broken. It's Sonic. You play Sonic, you love Sonic, just get the game, it's great.
Right. Okay.
Totally. So what about your honourable mention then?
My honourable mentions are Grim Fandango. That's not in the total list of top five rhythms because I've not finished it yet. I've only on, like, it's basically split up into 4 years of game, not literal years, but in the game, 4 years, and I'm only kind of a third of the way through the second year, so there's still tons to go.
Right.
Tim Schafer made that. It's basically just like halfway between like something like Day of the Tentacle and Psychonauts.
Oh yeah, Psychonauts. That's a totally great game. So like based on what you've played so far then, could that have made your list?
Yes, definitely. It's probably very close to the top there.
Cool. And then MDK2 wouldn't have
had to put that there. But no, Grim Fandango was so funny and so fun to play. I totally love point and click adventures. And although there's no actual point in clicking in it, this one's good.
Great.
What else is there? City of Lost Children on the PlayStation 1. This game is terrible. Like,
it's so
bad, and like no one should go out and buy it. Like, I've played a ton of really, really, really bad games this year through choice, and like City of Lost Children is like one of them. There's like, you got to find items because it's a bit like a point and click adventure game. And you're on like a total pre-rendered background like Resident Evil, but the controls are just terrible. Like, you have to find items and they're behind stuff, so you can't see them, right? You have to like wander around until you find the pixel that item's on, which you can't see because there's something in the way. Then you have like four action buttons. All the face buttons on the PlayStation control pad are all things like use your left hand to pick something up, use your right hand to pick something up, like put things down with this hand. Like, why does, can't you just
put
have
things down,
pick up? Like, it's so bad, and it kind of looks nice. It's kind of got this retro kind of low res stylized like character designs and that, but that's cool. Like, the game looks really nice for a PlayStation 1 game, but the game itself is horrendous.
So why is it on your, because
it's based on the film City of Lost Children, which I only bought after playing the game, and the movie's really good. It's kind of like a French horror comedy children's movie that no child should ever watch. And it's just totally weird from start to finish. But it's totally great. But by buying that,
crazy,
I also found out about the director, and he made a movie called Amelie. So it's another French film, and that's like one of the best films I've ever seen ever. So, yeah, by playing the, like, City of Lost Children.
Chain reaction, I see. It's all worse, comes together.
One of the worst games ever made, to led to, like, watching one of the best films ever made. Yeah.
Nice. Sweet. Cool.
Only,
anything
like,
else?
I started playing Messiah at the start of the year. It's like, I had it on my computer for a while, but like I couldn't get it to work, so I had to like install patches and like mess with the settings and stuff. And yeah, Messiah by Shiny is another great game, but I've not completed it yet. I've only got past like the first main section of the game. It's not on the total list proper. But yeah, it's so much fun. It's funny. Like, shiny games are always funny to play.
They're always brilliant games, eh? Like, shiny's games are always total great fun to play, and they're always funny. They're always filled with humour. There's always something total, something unique about them. Something that makes them feel like it's a total shiny
game. Yeah. Shiny should reform. Just don't do it.
Just dump Double Helix and just, like, get shiny back.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my honourable mentions.
Cool.
So what's your number one game you played this year?
My number one game I played this year is a game from 2006. And it's not even the best version of the game from 2006. This game came out in 2006 for the Xbox 360, and it's called Lost Planet Extreme Condition. From what I hear, like, I played it on the PS3, and from what I hear, everybody's saying that the PS3 version is absolutely, completely, and utterly inferior in every way. But I didn't care. I played that game, and that is single-handedly, absolute, hands down, the most epic game I have ever played ever in my entire life, even more so than Bionic Commando. I can't believe how ridiculously fun it was to play, how ridiculously epic it was. The storyline itself wasn't amazing, it wasn't a fantastic story or anything, but when it came to, like, fighting all these giant creatures and fighting all these snow pirates and just the epic music, like, you're 1 minute you're like running across, like, Arctic tundra in a robot snowmobile, the next minute you're fighting this giant, like, 500 foot worm that comes out the ground. You know, you turn it back into a mech and start firing missiles at it. It's just, oh, I cannot, like, fathom how good that, like, I'm lost, like, you can, I'm trying to speak and I can't say the words. Like, my words are not eloquent enough to describe how epic Lost Planet is. Like, my vocabulary is inferior to the game. Like, I cannot say enough good about it, and I can't say enough good about it in enough different ways that would make this game seem brilliant, because I'm getting tongue-tied. I can't say how good it is because it's so good. Like, a really, like, if you like action games, if you like third-person action games, if you like epic third-person action games with fantastic music, then give this game a shot. Like, if you've never played it, then give it a shot. If you've played it and you didn't like it, give it another shot, because you obviously weren't playing the same game I was. It is absolutely astonishing. And the boss fights are epic. Like, there's only like 10 or 11 levels in it, and it took me maybe about 7.5-8 hours to complete, but my word, how epic was those, like, 8 hours? That was, like, the most epic 8 hours of my entire life compacted into one game. There's no even trophies on it in the PS3, you know? It's like, there's absolutely no reason for me to go back and play it, but I will, because it's just brilliant. Everything about the game is freaking awesome. Yeah, that's my number one pick for this year, even though it was made, like, 4 years ago, going on 5 years.
Good, cool. Well,
yeah.
Does it have multiplayer?
Yes, it does. However, I've never touched the multiplayer.
I see.
The thing is, though, is that because I loved Lost Planet 1 so much, I bought Lost Planet 2, and I've not played enough of that yet. Like, I bought that game under the total pretense of, I heard it was essentially like Monster Hunter, but set in the future. And I was totally down with that, because I love Monster Hunter. But there's nobody playing it, really. And, I'm going on, the VGO forums. Like, I made a thread on the VGO forums asking anybody if they would like to play it. Like, you know, like, I didn't, not asking them to drop, like, at the drop of a hat to play it. Just, like, the thread was essentially asking people to maybe say a time and a day of the week that they're free, that they can maybe, like, get on and just have a few hours of it or something like that. But, yeah, nothing's ever came from that. And I really want to play the game as a co-op game, because there's four-player co-op in that. And I don't want to play through the game thinking that, you know, it could have been even more epic if I'd just played it online, you know?
Right.
Because I played the first game, and that was utterly, supremely epic. Like, as like I said, the most epic game ever. But I'm wanting the second game to top it. And if the first, if the second game is anywhere near as epic as the first game, and one player, it's going to be even more so epic in multiplayer, because it's going to be even more fun as well. You know, because you're talking to friends as well while you're playing it. So, like, I don't want to waste my first turn on the game playing it as a one player game. I want to just experience it as it was meant to be played. Yeah. So if anybody's out there that wants to play Lost Planet 2 with me, you can give me a shout, because I'm totally up for that. Yeah. So that's my number one, Lost Planet Extreme Condition on the PS3.
Oh, man.
What about you? Come on.
Well, you picked a game from 2006 as your best game.
Nah, here you go. You're gonna try and one-up me with something earlier. That's fine.
I picked
the
game
cool.
from 1994.
a clear 12 years before the one
true.
That picked.
Yes. Super Metroid on the SNES. It's like, yeah.
Oft. You are total retro.
Well, it's like, I never played this game when I was as a kid. Like, I had a Mega Drive. So I was like totally playing Sonic and Rocket Knight being the best game of all time. And
yeah, okay, and, well, not as good as that from Gym Life, but yeah, okay.
Well, okay. Anyway, so like, I never even really registered the existence of like a SNES, let alone really played any of the games. And so like, I tried it this year, like September, I think. And it is probably one of the best games I ever made. Like, I cannot think of any games better than it. That's how good I think it is. And I know I just said that Rocket Knight's like the best game ever. I stand by that. And I know that contradicts what I just said, but it makes perfect sense in my head. But no, it's like,
right, okay.
It's so good. Like, why did no one tell me when I was like a kid? Why didn't they say, like, Rage, go play Super Metroid.
Rage. So why is it so good then? Like, what makes it amazing?
It is just pure gameplay from start to end. It's all about exploring. Like, it's not, the game is in no way linear whatsoever. You've got, you just have to constantly backtrack, explore, find new areas. Every time you get a new skill, that means that you can go back and get past areas that you couldn't get past before. Like, you've got color-coded doors. Like, normal doors you can just shoot. Red doors require a missile, like 5 missiles, and the green doors need a super missile. So as you're playing it, you see doors you can't get past, and then you're like, okay, I'll be able to get past that later if I just find the right thing. And when you find the right thing, you can then go back and you constantly find more and more places to explore, and you find out how massive a map this is. And
right, yeah.
Yeah, and it's also really epic. It's a lot like Alien. Like, and Aliens. And like its style in that. Although anybody who played it proper is just like, yeah, really, you think? But but yeah, it's yeah, they took the influence and then just like ran with it and made this just this amazingly fun experience of game. Yeah. And like, again, anybody that's played it is just like, yeah, really, you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I've not played it yet.
Well, it's totally fun. And but yeah, I also played like the other ones, like the Game Boy Advance ones, like the Zero Mission, which is like the remake of the first one, because like, yeah, the first one's just too hard on this NES, the NES rather, and like, so it got the remake, and it's also got like an extra bit where you have to play as Samus and just the Zero suit, which is kind of cool. And yeah, that was fun, but it wasn't as big and it wasn't as fun as Super Metroid, seeing as Super Metroid is one of the best games ever made. But I'm also now playing Metroid Fusion, also in the Game Boy Advance, and that game's not really good. It's alright, but whereas Super Metroid is all about exploring, just like doing everything yourself and working out how to get past obstacles and all that kind of stuff, Fusion is just go here, do this, go there, and you have to constantly wait as this computer just tells you all this inane stuff like go here and do this, as if like you couldn't just work that out yourself. It's like, but yeah, Super Metroid, that's my number one game I played this year.
I played a retro game this year as well.
What did you play?
Yeah, it was really retro. Yeah. A game that you've not played yet.
We kind of played them at the same time, and both afterwards when we both said we'd play it.
You should play this! You should play this, Prime! You should play this, Rage! Yeah, I played, because I was really interested in getting that new Castlevania game that I've still not got yet, I played Super Castlevania 4 in the SNES.
And
it's really good. It's really fun to play. It's totally
well, like
awesome. I'm not going to total talk about it because you know we've done our lists and that.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's really good. I will. It's really fun.
Okay, so that's our top 5 games that we played this year, though not necessarily released.
If you want to like, because this isn't like one of our normal episodes, if you want to get back to us, you know, if you want to maybe, you know, give us a response to this this episode, see, like, let us know what your top 5 games was as well, you can do it on our site. We've got a website now, www.stupidlyepic.com, because we are stupidly epic. Yeah, just find one of our posts. Like, this will probably come with a post, you know, like this episode will probably have a post to go with it. So yeah, we've got, like, just reply to it. Just let us know what your, like, what your top 5 games were this year. Not necessarily have to be like made this year though, remember. And we've also got threads on VG Evo, so if you want to get back to us there, you're more than welcome to.
Okay, so this is done.
Yeah, well, hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did.
And I think we should stop there. Stop.
Okay, let's stop now. Okay, bye.